You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast. I am Cammy Black. We're responding to some complaints tonight. We lots of people last week were unhappy that we'd done the Scotland squad review in our Patreon only part of the podcast. But actually, all we did was we just didn't talk about the fact that about five people have been added who don't play in Scotland. We'd already reviewed the squad a couple of episodes ago. But we're going to write that wrong tonight. Hello, Johnny. Johnny McGinty's with me. Good evening, Johnny.
Hello. Good evening.
We're going to do an autumn test preview. It was too early last week, Johnny. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
We still had URC to do.
Exactly. And Super Six and the Super Six final. You know, so there's things. There were things to be done. The agenda was already full.
Yes.
And you know, so the Patreon only podcast, and you know, I'll let you know how you can subscribe to that in a moment because we've had lots of new subscribers. Hello to them all. It's the overspill, really. It's the bit where we just kind of have a bit of a vent and talk about the stuff that we didn't have time for in the main pod. But tonight, we'll write that wrong tonight. We're going to do a full autumn test preview tonight. If you want to sign up for our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast and you will get access to weekly bonus episodes of the podcast where we just kind of expand on some of the talking points we've done earlier in the podcast. It's normally about another 45 minutes, another hour of content. We swear, we put the world to rights. It's a little bit more freewheeling and rambling than the main one, if that's even possible. If you're watching us live, we're currently on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. You can also download and listen to the podcast afterwards on audio podcast formats like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Alexa, and Spotify. I think everywhere's got podcast platform. Everywhere's got a podcast platform now.
I think so, yeah. That'll be you in trouble with whoever it is that comes on every week and says, please stop saying Alexa. I've just done it again.
I know. Alexa, stop. Alexa, time 5 minutes. if you're watching live, please get in touch in the comments and we'll read the best out as we go along. And we've got Andy alone this evening. Hello, Andy. We've also got Simon Condal. Hello, Simon. Thank you very much, Simon, for reminding me. Simon got in touch with us on my Twitter DMs. If you go to @ScottRugbyPod, you can find us on there, @ScottRugbyBlog for the podcast on Twitter. So Simon slid into my DMs today. Simon is involved with Strathaven Rugby Club. And if you go to the Strathaven Rugby Club Facebook page, so just search for Strathaven Rugby in Facebook, they're giving away 4 Tonga tickets. They're by the tunnel. So it's 2 adults and 2 kids. Face value of that is £110. So it's in a prize draw, £5 entry. You can enter as many times as you like. And as a free bonus entry on top, if you share and tag a friend in the comments of the original post. So they're at Strathaven, I think, been struggling a little bit after COVID. So they're doing this to raise a little bit of money, which is, we wholeheartedly support any clubs wanting to do any fundraising. So that's Strathaven Rugby Club. Go to their Facebook page if you are desperate for Tonga tickets and haven't managed to get any sorted. They sound like they're excellent seats. So
they're certainly much better than the seats that I just bought at the weekend.
Are you going in for the kids for a pound then, Johnny?
Yes. Yeah, taking them both for the Tonga game and my dad, so that'll be interesting.
Do you have to pay for a babe in arms?
No, not usually, no. So we're getting both of them.
And are you having to take bottles in the Sporran, or are you allowed to take a change bag?
We can take a change bag because I checked that. That's why I was checking the FAQs on when was I speaking to you on the group chat Sunday night. Because I wanted to check that we could take a changing bag and what we have to do about it and stuff. So yes, we can take a changing bag.
There's the loophole, isn't it? So what you need to do if you want to get booze, now I'm not advocating this at all. If you want to get a bag into Murrayfield, you can buy these things and they're utterly terrifying. They're on Facebook. Search for living dolls. The utterly, utterly terrifying dolls that you get on Facebook. Buy one of those, wrap it up in swaddling, in your arms, change bag on your back. Through you go.
It is the student-only Halloween fancy dress party for the Tonga game as well. So I'm not suggesting that all the students who are going should dress up like the Hangover and take a little baby in the changing bag with them to get their booze in. But, I mean, if I was a student, that's what I would do.
There must be a market.
I have a student. Then...
What?
You're a student, yeah.
There must be a market. I've suddenly thought about this. There must be, and if anybody copies this, I'm going to sue them, but you know, you can get the glasses where it looks like there's water already in the glass and you drink it and it disappears, those kind of trick glasses. You must be able to do that with a milk bottle, right? In fact, you do, because my daughter's got one. She's got like the milk bottle thing she gives to her baby, right? So you get milk bottles, pint milk bottles with teats on. You make it look like they're filled with milk, but you can fill them with whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Fill it with vodka, fill it with beer, mm-hmm. in the change bag, pretend baby under the arm. Mm-hmm. Through you go, job's a good one.
Exactly. By the end of your first fake milk bottle of straight vodka, you won't remember the game at all.
Yeah. And you'll probably be carted out by social services as well. Where's your baby? Yeah, maybe don't do that. Anyway, well, there's a couple of bits of news to deal with before we go on to the United Rugby Championship. Glasgow, Johnny, have signed former under-20 Scotland cap Nathan Macbeth.
Yes.
Which looks like an excellent signing.
I think so. Yeah. He's been really exciting. I am already fed up of all the Macbeth the play puns from everybody's social media. But on the field wise, I think he looks like he'll be really interesting. And I think he's a tight head as well.
He is, yes.
Which is obviously we lose Xander for quite a lot of time. That's purportedly not going to be an issue with the URC, but it is still nice to have some decent quality.
Xander signed a contract extension. It's not a particularly significantly long one, I don't think, is it? It's like a...
He did sign one in the summer, but I think it was only a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, it's because he's now British and Irish. It's like Ali Price, he's British and Irish Lions, Xander mm-hmm. Ferguson now, so he can probably name his price at any club in Europe.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
It worked for Suss. So.
Yeah, it's another South African accent, though, in the Scottish changing room, which will really upset Craig Chalmers.
Yep, unacceptable.
Unacceptable not to have people who don't speak broad Scottish in the changing rooms. Disgusting. We should do that this week. We were going to do in the Patreon-only one our own kind of take on kind of the Scottishness test. How Scottish do you have to be before you can walk through the... through the changing room doors and be part of the squad. So we'll maybe do that on this week's Patreon.
That's a good idea, actually.
Other bits of news. You were talking, this popped up, and I thought, you know, we often kind of joke about people high up listening to this podcast and getting ideas, but you were calling for centralisation of the United Rugby Championship referees, and then the Scottish head of refereeing quit the next day. I was like, "Oh God, you took that seriously."
I don't want to feel responsible for that. If I'm perfectly honest,
you made a man quit his job. He's like, "Oh God, centralization—that's a good idea. I'm off." I think that was the only kind of big news that we picked up on. There's just been kind of normal quotes coming out of the Scotland camp. So the United Rugby Championship then. As I don't know, it's inevitable, like death is Leinster rolled into Scotstoun on Friday night and beat Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah, quite handily. It was pretty concerning. It was a whole different kind of concerning to last week as well, where Glasgow looked absolutely rotten against Zebra. The problem this week is that they actually looked pretty decent, and Leinster were just that much that much better.
Here's a couple of things. One is, I've got my suspicions that the decision to play Ross Thompson was not Danny Wilson's, and yes, may have been a discussion with Gregor Townsend to say, could we see how he goes in a big match at 15?
Yeah, particularly considering that Blair Kinghorn played 10 for Edinburgh as well.
Which I think it's always where we've seen it before. I think it is worrying when the national setup are kind of calling the shots of match day. I mean, we don't know that's true, but it stuck out like a sore thumb. I don't think you kind of mess around with your start 15 like that in a game against Leinster.
No, it certainly scans. We've seen that sort of thing happen before. And again, like, I don't think we've ever even been able to prove it before, but there has been times where you see people play out of position in the few weeks leading up to an international break, and it's pretty obvious that that's why they're doing it. So, yeah, that was my first thought as well when I saw the team sheet, was that's exactly what was happening, especially when I saw the Edinburgh one to go with it.
And you weaken in two positions. It's the same thing, isn't it? You weaken two positions because, you know, I know, you know, Donkey Weir's, I think that's a good signing for Glasgow this season. I think they've struggled for depth at 10. Ross Thompson, I think, is first choice, so it's good to have Donkey Weir there, but Ross Thompson should have been playing 10.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some fairly interesting moments, especially in the second half, where Ross Thompson was sort of coming in at first receiver in sort of after the first or second breakdown. Then they'd sort of split it, and Donkey Weir would have gone at first receiver for the first couple, and then if he got hauled into a ruck or if it was a centre field breakdown where they could split the backs, then Ross Thompson was coming in and playing first receiver. But it's not the same as playing 10 the whole game. That's what he needs to be doing.
It's not the same as controlling a game, is it?
Yeah.
If you're just kind of coming in and filling in. So, yeah. There's somebody, Facebook user, who I assume is on our super secret social media group. So you have to give Facebook permission to share your name, unless you want to be super secret over on Facebook. That's fine. Says that the Leinster team could compete at test level. I think this is a big frustration for me, is that they're human. I know everybody goes, oh, well, it's the money. They've got the money. They've got this big school that just churns out rugby players. But I just don't think that Glasgow got the tactics right. And they didn't, I mean, we said they didn't get the team selection right, but like, there was times when, and they did adapt to it. Like, there were times when in the Leinster 22, Glasgow were attacking. And I can't remember who it was. I think somebody put this on Twitter today, and they were saying, you know, Leinster just weren't trying to compete at the breakdown because they were filling the pitch up defence-wise. And later on, I think it's just before one of the Glasgow tries, I think Glasgow worked this out, and so we're just constantly coming through the gate, so Leinster then had to commit men. But it's not... Leinster weren't doing anything complicated. I just don't think Glasgow had... I don't think Glasgow took it seriously enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, Leinster are smart. That's the main thing about Leinster. And so they obviously know that Glasgow's strength going forward comes from quick ball and broken play and catching people turned on their heels and things like that. So by not committing anybody to any of the breakdowns, they were never giving Glasgow the option to do that. Like, Glasgow could go as quickly as they want, but if the Leinster defence is already organised, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and if they get a turnover like they did, and then they can just shift it out, then the counterattacks there, they've got numbers for it.
Yeah, the way to beat Leinster is to make significantly less mistakes than they do, and they make not a lot of mistakes.
No, and just to absorb pressure as well. I think that's the other thing, and not to try and I just didn't get the impression that Glasgow had showed up to take with a game plan to take on Leinster. And I think normally the kind of idea that you don't worry about what the other team's doing and you do what you do is fine. But when you come up against a team like Leinster or the big team in any sport, you do need to kind of have a particular idea of how you're going to take them apart and how you're going to deal with what they bring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Glasgow turned up to play Glasgow's game and Leinster turned up to beat Glasgow's game.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that, to be, it's no disrespect to Glasgow because that's what Leinster always do. They do it to everybody. And the teams who beat them are the ones who are able to work that out, and they turn up to beat Leinster rather than to play their way.
Yeah, and that's how Glasgow beat Leinster Pass. That is that big game where so Johnny Gray made 3 million tackles. But that and Glasgow, the score, oh, it was a ridiculous scoreline, that one away to Leinster, was it?
Yeah.
It was a stupid scoreline. But Glasgow, it was basically rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
And then they got break. Every try was a breakaway try. I think it was like 41-40 or something like that. Ridiculous. But Glasgow basically rope-a-doped it, and Johnny Gray just tackled everything in sight.
Yeah.
And I think I can't remember, it was Xander Ferguson was like two tackles behind him as well, and they both hit. I think they both. Well, I know Johnny Gray hit 40-odd tackles, I think.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. And Xander made loads as well.
But it was. I think it was. But that's because they turned up to beat. They turned up to beat Leinster rather than turning up to play Glasgow's game, and that was the difference. There was that. Oh, who's one of the Leinster tries? Who's the hooker? Who's the hooker that kind of like ran away, had that break, and it was because Richie Gray was just getting involved in some afters and.
Oh yeah, Ronan Kelleher.
Ronan Kelleher made that break, but like Richie Gray was kind of. Like just having a chat with a Leinster player in the middle of the field, and so they go past Keller and he was off. But I like Rufus McLean, his defence and his commitment to get back and try and turn guys over just short of the try line for his size is utterly amazing.
Yeah, he's been a revelation this season, and like I said last week, he was a wee lad at the end of summer, and he's put on a serious amount of size, which has made a massive difference to him. And he hasn't got any slower from doing it either, which always helps.
Yeah. I'm trying to find that record-breaking tackle thing for Johnny Gray now.
The other one was 43. Jack Dempsey was great on 43, that's what it was. Yeah, it was great on Friday night. Even if his try was the most hilarious try I've ever seen awarded.
It was Leinster fans absolutely losing their crap over that. He was on his knees.
He was on his knees at the side of the rock as well. It was ridiculous.
But that's, you know, you've got to get those decisions. He looks like a really smart signing for Glasgow because that was a smart bit of play. Yes, it's cheating, but it was still a smart bit of play.
Yeah, he still got away with it. He did loads of really good legal stuff as well, to be fair, as well as a completely ridiculous, very illegal try. He's the sort of serious power runner that we've been looking for a while. And he's not going to be away with the Scotland squad like Matt Ferguson is. So.
No. True. Anything else from Glasgow for you other than it was just it just seemed like an inevitable...
Yeah. I mean, that's it. We were a lot better than we were last week, which is a bit worrying to be significantly better against Leinster than you were against Zebra, but there you go. But I mean, that's it. It's Leinster, isn't it? Like, you have to be 100% on your game and you have to think that you're going to go and beat them. And if you're not, you're not going to beat them.
Yeah. And I think that's, but I think we can be more critical of Glasgow than I've seen other people being, because I've seen a lot of their Leinster, their Rich. They've got amazing players. It's like they do, but every team is beatable if you work out how to do it and don't get complacent about let's turn up and see what happens. We've got Xander and Ali Price back. That'll do.
That'll work out for us. Yeah. They weren't in the frame of mind or execution that they had to be. Being a lot better than we were against Zebra is not good enough to be a team that beats Leinster. Like, it's nice that we were better, but we weren't better enough to be even competing with Leinster. Like, it didn't look close at any point.
No, exactly. I mean, it should be because Glasgow, I think we should be setting a higher standard and expecting Glasgow to at least be competitive.
Yeah.
And running these games closer. Yeah. Edinburgh game then against away to Zebra. I don't know, like we said, Blair Kinghorn at 10. I'm still not, I still don't get it. And I know Craig would say, I know if Craig was here and he might join us later on. Craig's been converted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
No, me neither. After making a big song and dance when the URC fixtures came out about how I didn't think it was that big of a deal that some of our games clashed with club side kickoffs, I didn't watch the Edinburgh game live because I was down at Duffus for a club lunch. I have only watched the highlights, but I didn't see any of the highlights that made me go, oh, okay, well, that must be why they're trying Blair Kinghorn at 10 then, because he was decent enough. He wasn't a million miles worse than Dungy Weir. That's like...
No, I mean, like, in terms of if you... Again, we've probably just got higher standards for Scottish standoffs these days, but he's not bad. I just don't think that he's exceptional.
Yeah, I don't see why you'd move him out of position and Ross Thompson out of position to get Blair Kinghorn into 10.
It doesn't make sense. It's not... And he... But having said that, you know, he was an all right 15 and an all right winger. Do you know what I mean? He from what we've seen of him so far is he's capable at international level, but he hasn't quite kicked. Oh, I know he's young, but he hasn't quite kicked on or done anything that makes you think, oh, he's the real deal. He's gonna be competing with Hoggy or anything like that. He's not hit those levels. So whether or not this is just a, you know, let's see how he goes at 10, but the impression I get at 10 is still that meh.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's all right, which is good for Edinburgh. For Edinburgh, that's what they need.
Yeah, because to be fair, one thing that actually did stand out for me from Edinburgh the weekend is that Immelman is very good.
Yes.
So if you want to keep Blair Kinghorn on the pitch, then seeing how he goes at 10 is the way to do it, because I would have Immelman starting at fullback every day of the week.
Yep. I thought that Charlie Sheil has been okay, but there's a noticeable difference when Ben Vellacott comes on.
Yep.
I think Vellacott has been unlucky to miss out on the Scotland squad this time around, but I get why he's not, because he's only played a handful of games, but there was a note that his try at the end was just that's out the Greg Laidlaw book of poaching. That,
yeah, they were lucky he was there for that as well, because they almost didn't come away with a bonus point either. For the two Scottish teams to go back to back weeks to Parma and almost not either of them come away with a bonus point is pretty concerning.
I think, well, it is concerning, but I think at the same time, I don't think Zebra are as bad as people make them out to be. They're still a hard team to beat away from home. They're still a potential bogey team, and I think it's, you know, yes, they're crap and they're always at the bottom, but they'll occasionally get an upset. And that's kind of, someone has to be that team, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, and there, by the grace of God, go we with our pro teams, but I'm pleased it's not us, but somebody always has to be the worst team. And they did some nice things. I thought the first try particularly was good. I don't think there's really an awful lot Edinburgh could have done about it. It was just a really well-worked, quick try, and they'd stretch the defence. I'm not sure there was a lot they could have done to stop it.
They seem to be getting a lot better at the basics, which is exactly where they need to start from. I don't think we're going to see Zebra the next 2 or 3 years running ridiculous attacking patterns and ripping teams apart. But if they can start scoring good straightforward tries, then they're going to get better a lot quicker.
Yeah, and it's testament to them that Glasgow and Edinburgh, who both have good attacks, and you know that they've almost prevented them from getting bonus points, which they'll be seeing as a win, that they've two on the track. People don't come here and get bonus points easily.
Anymore.
Yeah. yeah. So I don't, it's hard because like I said, if Craig had been here, we'd go into more depth about Edinburgh. They're going well. I like the way they're playing under Mike Blair. That's encouraging.
Yeah. I like the way both pro teams are going at the moment. It's good to watch, and there's been some decent wins and some close games. So we can't really ask for too much more, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting because we know that in Scotland, certainly over the last 5 years, if not longer, the SIU have been pushing this kind of Scotland way thing at club level and below, that there's a way of playing, and we're going to coach our coach. You get, there's free coaching sessions and stuff people turn up to and see, and it's kind of the Scottish way of playing is offloads and passing and quick rugby and quick rucking. And I think the problem was that's always been Glasgow's way of playing. It's the way that Scotland have wanted to play probably since the kind of latter end of Vern Cotter into Gregor Townsend coming in. But obviously Richard Cockerell didn't buy into it. So it's interesting. I think you see the players coming through, particularly for Edinburgh now, and you look at, I'm trying to think like someone like Cammy Hutchinson, or even Jack Blaine, and some of these younger players, and Charlie Sheeler, I guess, probably would have come through that the younger players who've maybe come through the system, and the system has been, this is the Scottish way of playing, and now they're able to come into that and actually use the skills that they've been taught, as opposed to, I know through your club and probably through the academy, they've been teaching you about this quick rucking, offloading game, we're just going to box kick off Henry.
Yeah, I think it's probably still not really a surprise that you get a lot more Glasgow backs than Edinburgh backs in a Scotland squad. But you can see it starting to change. And Mike Blair's got Edinburgh going much, much faster. So yeah. We'll see what happens in the next 18 months or so.
Yeah. So speaking of the Scotland squad, we've got a comment from Brodie Duncan. This brings us nicely into it. He says, I never understood the argument that Vellacott hasn't played enough games for Edinburgh yet when Tuu Pulotu has played the same number for Glasgow. That's a fair argument. The only, thing I could say is I think that Gregor Townsend has the horn big time for Tuu Pulotu.
Yeah. And he's not the only one because he is phenomenal.
Yeah. I think that's the difference. I think Ben Vellacott has played exceptionally well, but he's playing exceptionally well in a position where we have very, very good scrum halves. And I think we said previously, I think if Jamie Dobie had played in the summer, I think Gregor Townsend would have said, we're going to leave you with the club and we'll give Ben Vellacott some experience in camp. But Jamie Dobie missed out on that and they need him to come into camp. And he's young. Again, Ben Vellacott's 26, I think, which is...
Yeah, he's the same age as Jorginho, isn't he?
Same age as Jorginho. Jorginho's got more experience. So that's what it comes down to. You've got two players. One's more experienced, has more caps. They're the same age. You've got another lad who's younger, who's up and coming. You bring the younger lad. The lad of the same age has got more caps than the British and Irish line, and that's your three scrum halves. Yeah.
The other thing that is that Tuu Pulotu brings something... that although we've got a massive pile of centres for some reason, this squad, so you only bring something that not a lot of them do, because he is a monster ball carrier.
Yeah.
Which is something that for all the really great centres that Scotland are bringing, with obviously Hugh Jones being back in, with Chris Harris, the way he's going, there's some really interesting prospects at the centre, but there isn't somebody who would do almost like what Bundy Aki does for Ireland and just thump the ball up every opportunity. Seen Sione do that, and he's got wicked hands when he's doing it as well. So he's offering something a bit different. I don't think Vellacott's got as big a point of difference from the other scrum halves as Tuu Pulotu's got from the other centres.
Tuu Pulotu plays, does he play both sides? Has he played 12 and 13 for Glasgow?
12 and 13 this season, yeah.
Yeah. Which again, that's a huge asset, because it just means that you can, and we know we've seen that from Gregor Townsend with Scotland before, where he'll sometimes play a baller at 12 and then other times just be happy to play to hit him up centres. Like Sam, when he plays Sam Johnson, he knows he's not going to get the distribution and kicking game that he's going to get when he plays, Pete Horn used to be the go-to for that, wasn't he? So, and we haven't, I don't think we've had anybody, I'm trying to think who we've, it's normally, I think the problem is that they haven't had anybody at 12 like Tuu Pulotu, and that'll be interesting because I think that would be where he would fit at 12 rather than 13 for Scotland.
Yeah, I think so. Because I've seen him a few times this season where he's smashed into the line, taken a man or two to bring him down and then still got the ball away as he's going down.
Yeah.
Which is, like, if you think about the speed and the quality of the runners that are going to be support runners coming off him, could be a massive difference.
Yeah. The squad then, I mean, there's been a couple of changes again, and this is why we didn't talk about it last week, because we knew there was going to be injuries and stuff. So Mark Bennett and Fraser Brown are both out with injuries. In come Magnus Bradbury and Dave Cherry Bomb. I will say to the person on Twitter who replied and said John Mellencamp, I said Cherry Bomb. And so I said, oh, John Mellencamp will be happy. I think if someone uses the phrase Cherry Bomb and your first thought is Mellencamp as opposed to the Runaways, then you and I are not going to get on. So Dave Cherry is in, hot young prospect that he is. So it's going to be interesting. So we've got Tonga up first this weekend, then it's Australia, then South Africa, then Japan. So for the Tonga game, Johnny, as far as I can tell, aside from Dylan Richardson, it's only the Scottish base players that are available.
Yeah.
So the French and the English players don't come in the rec until the Australia game. So I mean, I suppose back to the Kinghorn and Thompson, and this is the big worry that I have. And it's impossible to guess what Gregor Townsend will do with any Scotland squad. I've given up trying, but I'm genuinely worried he's going to start Kinghorn at 10.
Yeah, I did see some rumblings about it at the weekend. In fact, I saw the rumblings start after I told my son that we were going, and he was really excited, but before I'd bought the tickets. so now I've been like, well, I had to buy these tickets, and now literally anything could happen.
Yeah. Dinner Lady's Ankle on Twitch says, I wouldn't see the point of starting Kinghorn at 10 against Tonga. He's not going to get better than Russell or Hastings, so why ignore Thompson, who would benefit from the minutes experience? That would be my thought.
Yeah, exactly mine as well.
Yeah, I would start Thompson every time, and I don't get why you'd... I get why Blair Kinghorn is an option at Edinburgh. I don't see it for Scotland, because I don't even, you know, he doesn't play like Hastings or Russell, whereas Thompson does.
Yeah.
And I think Thompson has all the skills and the mindset to actually be better than Russell or Hastings.
I think so. Probably since like around the start of the Rainbow Cup, Ross Thompson has grown into being an absolutely phenomenal player.
Yeah. What's his kicking rate? Is it like 100% pretty much?
It's not far off, yeah. Yeah, it can't be very far off.
Which is
his kicks from hand are great as well. It's not just his place kicking.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think he'll play Kinghorn at 10. I don't want him to. I'm not gonna be happy about it. I want him to play Thompson at 10.
Yeah.
So
I guess maybe they were just there at this weekend in case they have to swap round if something goes wrong or someone gets injured or something.
Maybe. We can hope. Let's all, you know, pray and hope that that's the case. That it's just a case of emergency. Let's see if Ross Thompson can shift back to 15. He did all right.
Yeah, 15. Yeah, I thought he was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Better than Blair Kinghorn at 15. Ooh. Just getting that in before Craig turns up.
I was going to say, he'll be here if he's coming on.
So elsewhere in the back set, I think scrum half will be, I think George Horn at 9. I think I'd be surprised if Jamie Dobie were to start. I wonder whether you'll put Price on the bench though, because Price hasn't had enough game time so far since the Lions, and is going to be the big game.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes me think that Price and Zander might feature quite a lot on Saturday, is that they both started and they both played about 60 minutes on Friday night. Although, you know, you see people say Leinster could always be a test team, they're not. So 60 minutes against Leinster is probably the best club preparation you can get, but it's not the same as playing an international.
No. So, yeah, I think if it wasn't Australia next, if it was Japan next, I think you'd see Dobie and some combination of Dobie and Horn at nine. But I think Price will come off the bench and George Horn will get a run out.
Yeah, that's probably what I think is going to happen as well.
Ten, like we said, we've talked about 10. I think we both agree we'd like it to be Thompson. It might be King Horn. We'll have to live with that. 12 and 13, and we'll do the back three together. I think Tuipulotu, I'd be surprised if he wasn't in at 12 or 13. It's who's alongside him.
Yeah, I think it's most likely going to be Sam Johnson at 12 and Tuipulotu at 13, would be my guess.
Yep, it makes sense. And then the back three of, I think Rufus McLean's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Darcy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 15th.
Either Kinghorn or Thompson.
Thompson, yeah. It just
the only thing that kind of slightly concerns me about that is that that's three not very big outside backs.
It's not, but then you don't have to. Darcy Graham. If you look at what some of the hits Darcy Graham puts in, but has been put. I mean, again, he's another one like Rufus McLean. He looks bigger again, but hasn't shown himself of pace.
Yeah.
And we already know that Darcy Graham loves to hit rucks, even though he's only 5 foot. No. So I don't think that'll be much of an issue. I think this is, unlike the Leinster game, I don't think they'll be focusing too much on what Tonga do as much as let's kind of play our way and we'll probably score a lot of tries.
Yeah, it is. Rufus McLean and Darcy Graham are probably the two most exciting wingers. They're the two, especially without Doohan there, that you think once they get the ball, anything could happen. If they get the ball and half a step, they could be anywhere.
Yeah. I suppose the thing is then whether Kyle Steyn comes in to the reckoning as well, and one of either McLean or... Well, I think you probably more like... Because McLean is a 15, right? Is that his primary position? And they did beat Glasgow playing him on the wing.
He's played mostly wing for Glasgow. I don't know where he played before that. I know he can cover fullback. I've not seen him do much of it, but I know it's an option.
Yeah, so the only thing would be whether Kyle Steyn gets a game.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else really being in the reckoning for the back three, to be honest.
No, I'm looking at the list of players that aren't Scottish-based. I think there's Hoyland is in the squad. But again, I struggle to see... If you're looking at the other players, I think Hoyland's further down the pecking order than any of the others. I mean, I guess it depends what the bench split is. But if that was if the Thompson Kinghorn experiment sounds like some sort of like 70s prog band at the weekend was just to see whether or not Thompson could cover at 15, then that might then account for a bench choice. You obviously have a scrum half. It's whether or not they just go for one of the back on the bench at the weekend.
Are there enough forwards to do that? I'm like genuinely concerned about
hundreds
the forwards.
There's hundred. We've got hundreds of forwards. Like, I'm looking at the list now on the Twitter update they did. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's six. I know they're not all based in Scotland. There's like six more forwards than there are backs. So in the forwards then. You've got those that are available who are based in Scotland. There's in the front row, you've got Jamie Batty, Xander, Ollie Kebble, Murray McCallum, Pierre Schumann. That's it. That's your lot. That's your props. So they're
Well, I think we're almost certainly going to see Schumann.
Yeah, you'll see Schumann, you'll see Kebble. Are they the opposite side of the scrum? I've said before this podcast, I haven't a Scooby-Doo, but the
Cable theoretically could play both.
Right. I knew that, which confused me even more. But yeah. Are they normally both sides of the scrum, Schumann and Cable? It's terrible.
I think so. I'm pretty sure that Craig will put us right as soon as he gets here if he rocks up. But I'm relatively sure that Schumann is a loose head and Cable is usually a tight head.
Tight head, yeah. So you could have Cable and Schumann in the scrum.
I still think Xander will start at tight head.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Just for some practice.
The hooker then, it's interesting. Dylan Richardson has come out and said, there's a couple of interviews with him this week just in South Africa, saying he sees himself as a back three forward. He doesn't see his position as being hooker. So I'd be surprised if we start him at hooker. I think it's a bit like the reverse McAnally-Brown Turner thing, if he can shift forward instead of they can shift back.
He's doing the opposite way from usual.
I don't know. I think you'll probably see McAnally start for Scotland.
I think so.
This weekend. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Did George Turner pick up an injury?
Don't think so.
So it's whether or not he goes. Again, I think he'll probably Turner off the bench and Dave Cherish is there for cover.
Yeah, that's probably what I would think.
We all want Dave Cherry. Let's be honest. Everybody wants. We all want Dave Cherry starting against Tonga, but it's not going to happen.
That's what we'd like to check what position Schumann plays, because I have a sneaky suspicion I might have got these two the wrong way around.
This is the thing. We don't purport to be experts on this podcast. I will stress that. Like,
I'm especially not an expert at front row.
So, Facebook user says Kebble is a loose head. Right, Facebook user, tell us what. No, that's no good. That's half an answer. Like I said, we're not purporting to be experts on this podcast. We are fans like you and you guys. We guess half the time.
Yep, it's too far away from me, and most of the time they're bent over.
Schumann is a loose head too. Kevin and Schumann are on the same side. Thank you very much, whoever that is.
Thank you,
mystery person of the of Facebook. So you got Kebble and Schumann. Kebble probably is going to be the bench then, because he's got because he can cover both sides, and that seems to be the intention for Glasgow for him to do. Xander.
Schumann and Xander starting as the props then?
Yep. Xander getting a half.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yep. And then McAnally in the middle. Locke is pretty much got to be Grant Gilchrist. And then Marshall Sykes, I think.
Yeah, Locke's the one that I'm like genuinely really quite worried about.
Right, here's the list of going through the squad. Here are the Scottish based locks. So going down the list, not a lock, 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 not a lock. Grant Gilchrist, not a lock, 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 not a lock. Marshall Sykes, not a lock, not a lock. Marshall Sykes and Grant Gilchrist are the two locks in the squad now. However, I think there are people with it. So, we know Rob Harley can play lock if he needs to. I think Jamie Ritchie, from memory, has covered at lock before. Outside of that, though, I don't. It's not great for locks.
New. Yeah, that's. And it like. It gets a little bit better once the English-based players arrive, because then Josh Bayliss and Sam Skinner will arrive, but like not much better.
But there's not like Josh. But both of those aren't out and out locks, right?
No.
No, there's Skinner
plays mostly lock, but he's one of these like five and a half.
Yeah, like the hybrid. Six hybrid. The Rob Harley kind of model, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
the other one is, I think that what's his name? Jamie Hodgson, I think, can play lock.
Yeah. I think the problem is, though, that we've got to be, well, like being realistic, Scott Cummings and Johnny Gray are both injured.
Yeah.
So that's that. The moment you add, you can't fill your squad with locks, because apart from lineouts and occasionally hitting rocks and walls, they're fairly useless.
Is Ben Toulis injured? Yes, he must be, because otherwise he'd be there.
It's just crap. No, that's harsh. I try not to be harsh on this. No, I think Ben Tillis is injured because he hasn't played for Ember recently.
Yeah.
He's not been great. I will say he had the absolute storming game for Scotland in against Australia in Australia during the last Lions tour.
Yeah.
And like I think everyone thought, oh, like he's hit his stride. That's, you know, this is what Ben Tillis is all about. But he's never rediscovered that form.
No.
And he fits in the Ryan Wilson mode for me, is when you watch Ben Tillis play for Scotland, there's a lack of urgency to get back in the line after a tackle. It's the kind of casually wandering, but I know there's a need to preserve energy, but I think when Scotland are trying to play high energy, quick rugby, you can't just be kind of sauntering back into the line like you're kind of staggering home from a night on the lash. You have to get up and get back quickly, and you see everybody else, and everybody else is getting up and getting back quickly.
I think unless we think that Marshall Sykes is the future of Scotland's second row, though, I might have Ben Tillis in for the game against Tonga rather than him.
I don't think Tonga's the test it was when it did for Andy Robinson. Right? I might be wrong. This could be absolutely horrendous for Scotland this weekend. We don't know, but I kind of think it's a run out, and that's with all due respect to Tonga, then they're not great at the minute. That I think any Southern Pacific team that comes, particularly at the minute during COVID, that's coming up north isn't going to be firing on full cylinders. So with the greatest respect to Tonga, this Scotland could pick, you know, I'm not saying they'd get, you know, hard to drive, they just fielded academy kids, but I think it's the kind of game you want to expose players like Marshall Sykes to.
Yeah. Are Tonga the team who were going around local clubs in Auckland looking for semi-professional players to play the All Blacks in summer? Or was that Samoa?
I think it might be Tonga. There was one, wasn't there?
I was trying to remember someone being hit really hard.
Yeah, I think it might be Tonga, because didn't Tonga also then get stuck in New Zealand during COVID?
Yes.
Angus Thompson said yes.
Yeah.
I think they got stuck in it. There was a big kind of outcry because they were basically living in a church in New Zealand at one point as well.
Yeah, so, I was thinking it was one of the Pacific Island teams got hit really hard by COVID and really struggled to get a team, and it was Tonga.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's got better since then.
It will. I mean, I think that Northern Hemisphere always tends to benefit the South Pacific teams a little bit, because they can call on the player, unless, you know, they're French paymasters have kind of written to the contract saying you must never play international rugby again, which is not lawful under world rugby laws, but definitely happens.
Yeah. I mean, then it's out with the test window for them as well. That's the problem.
That's it. Yeah. So they're relying on anybody they can bring over plus anybody playing in the URC who URC teams will like let them have.
Yeah.
Out of charity. So, yeah. So we'll see. But, yeah, I don't think it's not necessarily So the Tonga without their contact, Angus Thompson, Tonga without their coach, Tutai Kefu, after a knife and axe attack on his family. So,
yeah, that was pretty brutal.
I think we can risk Marshall Sykes against Tonga, Johnny. Not worried about that. The back three, the back three interests me because again, we've got strength and depth in the back three, and that we haven't had the summer tour. So against Tonga, you could just roll the dice and do Darge, Crosby, and I'm trying to think who else you could do. You could do a whole new back three, just for the hell of it. Matt Ferguson, just there for experience, and then bring on Watson, Richie, and another just to kind of come off the bench and fill in to get some game time. Because Mish is similar in that he won't have played a lot of rugby since the Lions. So I would imagine that Mish will play at the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't see him playing for Edinburgh on Saturday, but
I don't think he did. I'm not sure that he did. Let me have a look. No, it was Richie, Crosby and Mata.
Oh, of course.
Kunavula.
Has Mish played at all since the Lions?
Mish hasn't played at all since the Lions. So Mish is probably going to start then against Tonga, right?
You would think so, wouldn't you? If he hasn't played for 3 months.
No. Oh, Mish and Darge. Can you imagine Mish and Darge?
Oh, don't. Can Dylan Richardson play 8?
Mish can play 8.
There you go. Richardson, you Darge, go. And Mish, sign me up.
3 sevens. Yep. That's the dream there. I don't think it will happen, by the way, but yeah, that's the dream.
No. So,
that's generally interesting. We've got Craig's joining us. Craig, give me a thumbs up if you're ready to join us. He's just saying that he's given us a thumbs up. Hello, Craig. You've joined us. We're good. You've joined us after Johnny and I have spent about 20 minutes talking about which side of the scrum the various props play on.
I got them all wrong.
I got them all wrong.
I got Xander right. That's the only one.
Oh, okay. At least you got the one that you love the most, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. we were just saying for the Tonga game, we were kind of saying it's... I think the general feeling we seem to have is that you just roll the dice for the Tonga game, apart from the Lions players who maybe need game time.
Yeah, I think you're probably pretty much bang on with that. Especially if you're going to have Blair Kinghorn at 10, you know, that's definitely rolling the dice. No, you'll see Ross Thompson there, I'm sure.
We're praying for that outcome, Craig.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think either that or they'll. I don't know if they will. You might see the Lions players on the bench rather than actually starting. You never know.
Yeah, the only one was Mish. We were saying we just as you came on, we were saying Mish hasn't played at all though because he didn't play at the weekend in Parma. But presumably they just didn't want to fly him out there.
Yeah, you might find that he will start. Yeah, but it'll be interesting. I didn't get it. I couldn't find out why Mish wasn't there. He certainly doesn't seem to be injured.
No, I'm assuming it's just a kind of like he's in the Scotland camp. They had adequate cover and maybe give him an extra wee bit of a rest and a bit more time at home.
Yeah, probably. That's probably right.
The other three games then are interesting because we've got before we kind of as we wrap up now, you've got Australia, South Africa, and Japan. So Australia is an interesting one, Craig. I'll start with you. We've got Australia kind of are doing what Australia do best and what Dave Rennie does best, which is to have teams in complete turmoil and upheaval, is that half their players who are linked to Japanese teams have said, you know, we've been in this bubble playing in the rugby championship, and we don't think we can do that to our teams anymore. So Quade Cooper, Karevi, I can't remember who the other one was, someone else mentioned earlier, all these players. Who was that, Johnny?
McMahon.
Yeah, well, they are all saying we're pretty much going back to play in Japan. So the Australia, I mean, from what I saw of them over the Rugby Championship, weren't in great form anyway and are going to be coming over even more weakened to play Scotland. Can Scotland afford to dare to dream to have another big win over Australia at Murrayfield?
If we put the right players on the field, when I say that I mean put the big guns out, I think you'll find that we've got a good opportunity to turn them over. We also know their coach and their assistant coach and their scrum coach. A lot of the Scotland players know them quite well, so they know. They know whether they'll, you know, what sort of style they'll play. So we'll have to wait and see. There's talk of Lina going out from Harlequins coming and joining the squad as well because there's a tug of war between England and Australia for him as well. So they'll be interesting to see what team they do put in.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they bother with. I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see if they bother with defence at all, Johnny. Given who the defence coach is and the way the defence has gone during the Rugby Championship.
Yeah, that's what they we're kind of hoping for, I guess.
I just try to think how that works. They were like, Scotland have had like, what, 10 years of him as a defence coach. It's like, He never tried anything new in that entire time. So what have we got left to find out about? We know what's coming defense wise.
I know. Yeah, I think it's got potential to be a fairly interesting one, that Australia game.
Yeah.
Because Australia have just like turned their madness up to 11 in the last couple of days. Anything? I'd love to see them bring in Lewis Lyra, though. That would make me laugh a lot.
It'd be hilarious.
I think it'll be. The thing is, though, it's one of those situations. Is you know, it'll have to be a calculated guess from Lyra, or a calculated choice from Lyra. Because if he's got an opportunity to you know, I don't think Australia will be paying him a huge amount of money per game.
It'd have to be captured by their because it's their exceptional cap criteria as well. That because he's under, what is it, 30 caps, their rule. Playing in Australia, either you play in Australia or you have to have more than 30 caps, but they have this exceptional rule that they've been bending as much as possible during COVID to bring in the best players. But that's a big stretch to bring someone in on one cap who's based in England.
Hmm. They're talking about getting rid of that rule altogether. I don't know whether they have done it now or they're going to do it.
It seemed a daft rule for them to have in Australia, given that it's, you know, rugby union's like their fourth most popular sport.
And if you look at what it's done for South Africa, whenever South Africa got rid of that rule, you know, you look at the team that they built and they won the World Cup with it. So, in a very short amount of time. So yeah. I think it'll be interesting.
I think the slightly disappointing thing is it won't feel... In a way, I think Scotland will lose out because it won't. They're not coming to get up against the full strength Australia side, and they're not coming up against an Australia side firing on all cylinders. Not that Australia have fired on all cylinders for the past few years, but I don't know. Like, and this will come back and bite me on the bum when we inevitably lose. But it just, you know, it feels like there's a, you know, we've got a big team like Australia coming over, and we're not getting to play Australia, Johnny.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it would be a real shame. I think they've probably, other than missing, if they're missing Karevi, that's a big one. But they've got more talent, I think, than people realise. Australia sometimes, really decent talent in the backs. A lot of their new young backs are really, really good. But all that people are going to see is they're missing Karevi, and then they're missing Quade Cooper, who apparently has become really good for Australia again now. And yeah, that would be a shame. And then obviously the problem with them missing is that all these rumours start swirling around. There's all talk about them all falling out. Talk about Dave Rennie's management style not being accepted, or his mismanagement style not being accepted. And it all kind of starts to pile up, I think. And then it gets to the point where we're just going, okay, well, it's not really like actual Australia then, is it?
Yeah. They did beat South Africa, though, which is the big test. I mean, that's the big test. And in a way, South Africa's perfectly placed as a fixture for Scotland because there's a nice build-up to it then, where you've got Tonga, a kind of haphazard Australia, which, they beat South Africa with Quade Cooper, 90-year-old Quade Cooper fly half. But that's going to be the big test for Scotland, Johnny.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, a lot of the Scotland players and staff have got a point to prove in the way we go about playing it, South Africa, I think. Because the first 10 minutes of Finn Ruttle in the third Lions test was like the most exciting 10 minutes of the entire tour. And so
but
now,
South Africa will know what's coming now.
Yeah, that's true. We've let the secret out. I'll that be interested to see if how Finn and Hoggy use the 50-22, particularly against South Africa as well.
Yep.
If they do.
That, of course, relies, Craig, on the fact that our lineup would work and our maul. And we've got to maul against South Africa. I mean, there's a test.
Yeah, that would be it depends. And again, it depends who we, you know, the first two tests, who we see them playing, and how we. Again, it's the usual thing, and we all talked about it with the Lions. They all went out saying we need to play the same game as South Africa. We don't need to play the same game as South Africa, because we don't have a hugely heavyweight pack. Although, you know, if we do have Schumann and for example, play Dave Cherry above above McAnally, then you're starting to bring a little bit more heavyweight into the pack or a stronger pack, you know. But you just don't know.
The locks would be the big worry for me against South Africa. I think that's the game that I worry about, the locks, because we talked before you came on, Craig. You got Grant Gilchrist, Marshall Sykes are the two locks, out and out locks named in the squad. You're going to have Sam Skinner and Josh Bayliss coming in, but I know, I get what you're saying. You don't have to play South Africa at their own game, but when you're up against monstrous South African locks, you are going to have a plan for dealing with that, particularly at the line-out.
Yeah, but then Scotland have shown that they don't have to play the line-out to the standard line-out ways and means that we always expect, that somebody gets lifted here and they catch the ball there, and you know, but they've thrown a few different things with mesh and with Maitland, but it was one of the backs that came through the middle and things like, you know, they're going to have to get a little bit inventive unless they decide no, we're actually going to compete. But then, you know, if you've got Sam Skinner, you know, I think Skinner. I think I'm concerned about Gilchrist's go forward, to be perfectly honest. But I think in the line-out, he's a very, very good operator. So we'll just have to see.
The Japan game then, before we finish, I mean, that's, Scotland had a chance to put that to bed, but it got postponed last autumn. So this is the first time we'll be facing them after that game. And I don't know, that'll be interesting. I think from a psychological point of view, that's going to be a big one for Scotland, Johnny.
Yeah, I think that'll be the game that Japan are coming up here for this autumn, thinking this is the one that we're going for. So whereas we're obviously, we think, probably aiming for Australia, I think Japan are probably aiming for us. So Scotland have got to be ready for that. I think that they will be up for it, obviously, because of everything with the World Cup. And Japan came up here in the summer and got beaten by Ireland. So that's that one for Ireland taken care of. And we kind of have to follow suit with them now, I think. But we do have to be prepared for the fact that this is going to be the one that Japan have got circled in their calendars, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll take them, though. I honestly do think.
Oh, yeah.
I do think we'll beat them at home.
What's a good return then this autumn? Before we go then, Johnny, for you, I mean, a good return for autumn, I think, is 3 out of 4. I'd come away 3 out of 4 in this autumn. I think that's a good return for Scotland. I think anything less than that's going to be a disappointment. Would you agree, Johnny and Craig?
Yeah, 3's what.
Three's my, you know, the South Africa's the one I think is we're going to miraculously win it or we're going to lose it. But I think we should be beating Australia, Japan and Tonga.
I think with the South Africa one, though, even if we're accepting that it's a win's unlikely or a win would be a loss would be acceptable, it can't be the kind of humiliation that we had where it was like 20-0 or whatever it was a few years ago or something like that. It has to be close.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to see us be within a score of South Africa.
Yeah.
And it's possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt. Yeah. South Africa have shown they can be beaten. They're not. That'll be interesting. Razzie versus Gregor. Oof. It's a long simmering feud since Conor Murray's standing leg when he's coaching Munster.
Preempt with a video about the referee, Tooney sitting talking about the referee preemptively.
Yeah, well, we might touch on this when we get to Hands in the Ruck in a minute on the Patreon on the podcast. That's it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with a review of the Tonga game, preview of the Australia game. I will say this is Scotland's chance to win the Raeburn Shield against Australia. The Raeburn Shield tracks the whoever has won since the very first game of international rugby. Scotland probably lost it back in 1903 or something, and then we've never won it again since. But so Australia are the current holders of the Raeburn Shield, this kind of fictitious imaginary shield of kind of whoever beats whoever from the first game onwards over hundreds of 100 years or so. Scotland have a chance to win it, so that'll be interesting.
Awesome.
But yes,
keep it for a week.
We'll have the review of Tonga next week. We'll have the preview of the Australia game. But for the moment, it is goodbye from me and goodbye from Johnny and Craig.
Bye.
Right.